As Daniel writes, dealing their cards from the darkness, the Shadow Masters create reality, simply inventing the good guys and the bad guys as well. We'll be back with Daniel and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We've got Daniel Estulin. We've got his work, Shadow Masters. So how was this received, this book? It's relatively new, and it's pretty hot, Daniel. You name names.
Well, I do, as I always do. I think the only way, actually, one of the reasons for my success with the Bilderbergers and now with the Shadow Masters is I name names, show deeds, documents, photographs. There's over 120 photographs. Pages of photographs in the Shadow Masters. There's a very little the American government can do or say, because again, they're profoundly upset that this book came out. And again, they're needless to say, they're not saying anything at all publicly. But my people in the State Department have told me that the chapters on Victor Boot are absolutely devastating to them. The American government has spent over $80 million in the last 15 years trying to show the world that this Victor Boot is in fact a merchant of death. And I showed that how the American government has actually worked hand in glove with some very unscrupulous people, amongst them one of the leading journalists in America, Douglas Farah, was perjured himself, in Congress when he under oath lied about Victor Boot and his role in the international African gun trade. I also have yesterday I received from my sources inside the Bilderberg conference, George, the actual list of meeting agenda items, which I'd like to share, exclusive with your readers. Before I do, may I actually give a phone number out for people to call and get the book?
Of course, and your website, which we've got linked for you, Daniel.
It's a 1-800-556-2012, trynday.com. My publisher, Chris Milligan, a very brave man. Very few people would actually take on the task of publishing Shadow Masters. Both Chris and I, are playing with our lives. But again, I think it's worth it because, liberty, how many zeros is it worth in terms of, immortality and human freedom? Again, 1-800-556-2012. The book has been sold to half the world already. People are absolutely, awed by the contents of the book. I show how the American government and the Bilderbergers destroyed Russia back in the 1990s on purpose. Everything we've been told about the Russian, falling apart in the 1990s is a lie. It was done on purpose with Bilderbergers working from behind the scenes. I also explain, how the international drug trade works and how Afghanistan has nothing to do with bringing democracy, to this godforsaken land. I talk about Victor Boot. I talk about, the nuclear trade, the gun trade and arms trade. There's a lot of material in this book which has never, ever came out before. And again, 1-800-556-2012. You can go also to my website, danielestulin.com. We're putting up for next week for the Bilderberg Conference an English language website where we'll give exclusive updates on everything that's going on. Now, I'm a bit disappointed with the Bilderbergers, I must say. I've been tracking them for so long. You would think that after so many years, they'd come up with some kind of security system where I wouldn't get my hands on the information before the attendees themselves. The agenda items that I have received, the attendees will only be receiving this Friday. So actually, if they're listening to this, actually I'm reading the agenda items from the Bilderberg Conference next week in Spain. Number one subject on the agenda, will the euro survive? There's a lot of concern that euro may not survive. Number two, developments in Europe, Europe's exit strategy, ... on hold, ... Now, the explanation is that the markets are starting to recognize that the monetary policy impact that the struggling Eurozone constituents will have on the European Central Bank's ability to reverse ultra-easy money conditions. Now, with aggressive austerity plans facing Greece, Spain, Portugal, and Ireland, a risk of a double-dip recession for the Eurozone rises dramatically, just as I accurately predicted immediately following Bilderberger 2009 meeting in Greece. Number three point on the agenda is, do we have the institutions to deal with world economy? A very interesting question, because again, it puts in question the entire you know, World Apparatus Control of the Bilderbergers. Number four, Greece, Lessons and Forward-Looking Strategy. So obviously Greece is very high on the agenda. Number five, NATO in Afghanistan, the practical agenda for the alliance. And I guarantee you it has nothing to do with bringing peace to that land. It has to do with the drug trade and how the drug trade actually fuels the world economy and actually might save the American Wall Street from collapsing. Number six, Iran and Russia, economic and financial threats to the alliance. Number seven, the consequences of war against terrorism. Number eight, the influence of domestic issues on American foreign policy. Number nine, the outlook for Japan's economy. And finally, number 10, the future of the U.S. dollar, alternative scenarios. As you know, the list actually comes with brief explanations. I've given you one as far as Eurozone is concerned. Now, the alternative scenarios for the United States dollar are terrifying. You know, it looks like Bilderberg is positioning itself to destroy the United States dollar. I'm saying it exclusively for the first time on George Noory's show. The Bilderberg is positioning itself to destroy the United States dollar, according to one Bilderberg U.S. delegate who stated candidly that, I quote, the Obama government may not be in the position to do anything about it. Now, if the United States dollar plunged, the collapse of the fictitious mass of outstanding dollar-denominated internal credit brought about by either devaluation or a hyperinflation of what are nominally U.S. dollar-denominated obligations would in itself prompt the sudden collapse of the entire world physical economy, George, into a generation-long global new dark age over our planet as a whole. Now, let me say it again. If ratified, the Bilderberger plan would result in a virtually certain destruction of the United States. And this has been the treasonous intent of this group since the first meeting back in 1954. Again, the number, please, for my publisher is 1-800-556-2012. These are brave men and women who are actually working 24 hours a day around the clock to actually get this information out, and needless to say, without any collaboration from the mainstream press.
And ironically, Daniel, some members of the group are Americans, so it's like they want to bring down their own country.
Well, unfortunately, these are traitors to, you know, in our midst. These people do not represent in any way, shape, or form the United States or the interests of the people of the United States. They have no respect for the United States Constitution. As Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller have so many times publicly stated, yet for some strange reason, people don't seem to understand. Again, it is up to the younger generation who are coming up behind us to save us, or to save the world, because when we are old or dead, unfortunately, somebody is going to have to take up the mantle and do something to save the world, you know, from these people's, you know, dark plans.
Tell me about the diamond trade, Daniel, then we'll take some phone calls. How widespread is this stealing of diamonds, selling it on the black market?
It's an amazing market, and again, I saw it, unfortunately, I do mean unfortunately, too close and personal. I was in Congo. One of the reasons that they actually got rid of Victor Boot is that he was too close to Jean-Pierre Bemba, a man who was, contesting the presidential elections in Zaire, what is now, you know, cynically called the Democratic Republic of Congo. He'd actually, the Bears, the diamond cartel, came to Bemba, and they offered him a deal, 50% for the Bears, 30% for Bemba, and Bemba said, no, the people of my country should get a little bit more. Now, Bemba is not, you know, is not a Mother Teresa, but he actually, you know, had the gall, the audacity, you know, to ask the Bears, instead of taking a 50% cut, to take a 30% cut, and they balked. They said, no, they got rid of Bemba, they brought in Kabbalah, and now Bemba is in prison in The Hague, waiting, actually being tried as we speak, you know, for crimes against humanity. The United States government whisked him away with the United Nations, under the auspices of the United Nations. I was there when all of it came down, and I saw how they did it. Again, the diamond trade is a very important trade. The terrorists, the Al-Qaeda, the Hezbollah, they make a lot of money from the diamond trade, but also the CIA. What they do is they use the diamond trade to actually finance a lot of their dirty operations, which, needless to say, we will never see or read about on the cover of the New York Times. I wonder why.
I wonder why. Yep.
By the way, Douglas Farah, the man who was the prime antagonist of Victor Booth, he was the branch chief of the Washington Post in West Africa. He was fired. I don't exactly know why, but he certainly knew exactly what was going on. He knew of all these people and he knew all of the operations, but needless to say, don't expect Douglas Farah of the Washington Post to tell the truth about the diamond trade. I tell the truth about the diamond trade, and I show how all of these organizations, including the Israeli Mossad, of course, you know, they're in on the action as well. The CIA, you know, the Soviet, the KGB, or now the FSB of Russia, they're all there, and the diamond trade is a very important element in the international support of terrorism, and needless to say, money laundering, because you can hide money with, you know, a small handful of diamonds, can actually hide a lot of cash.
Some people may say, Daniel, I just want to be left alone. Let these people do what they're going to do, but leave me alone. Let me have my job and my little house and just leave me alone. Is that possible? Can they be left alone?
Well, they can be left alone. If you can call the people and turn them into slaves or animals, they'll be left alone, needless to say. People who don't cause trouble are left alone by the Bilderbergers, by the Shadow Masters, because they're no trouble at all. Unfortunately, it's not the world I want to live in. You know, what is the higher intellectual ground? Why are we here on this planet? You know, what is the meaning of immortality? Now, immortality doesn't mean that, you know, dying and your soul going to heaven. People like Bach, they're immortal because through them, you know, we have Beethoven, we have Mozart, we have Debussy. You know, you're talking about the difference between people and animals, the ability to discover universal principles of nature which help the entire world develop and progress. Do we as people have the right, you know, to have our children be proud of us? The way things stand right now, I think the answer to that is no. So the idea of immortality is actually willing to die for your constitution and for your nation so that the future generations can live in a better world, which is, again, one of the reasons when in 2003 Bilderberger emissaries, as I explained in my book, Shadow Masters, you know, came to me with a blank check and said, look, you've earned it. Take the money and just go. You know, I thought of my dad, who spent 3.5 years in prison as a political prisoner in the Soviet Union, tortured by the KGB. And I said to them, I said, how many zeros is once liberty and freedom worth? You know, they kind of looked at me and they said, Mr. Estulian, have yourself a nice day. This is a memento. And I still have that check framed on the wall. In the moments of weakness, when I sometimes feel I just can't go on, I'm just too tired to fight this fight, I look at that check and I think of all the people who have died throughout centuries trying to defend, you know, the meaning of freedom going back to the American Revolution and beyond. And I think to myself, you know, this fight is going to go on. And with my very last breath, you know, until the day I'm dead, I'm going to fight this fight. And the Shadow Masters and the Bilderbergers be damned.
Well, one of my favorite quotes you have in your book from Benjamin Franklin, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. How true.
How true. Unfortunately, you know, in their name, we have to fight this war as well, because in the end, all of us as people of the planet, you know, have to share and belong here, which is why, again, the future of mankind has to do with progress, it has to do with growth, and it has to do with fighting the people who are trying, we have been trying for over 1,000 years, you know, to put an end to our rights and drag us back to the, you know, pre-nation state days of feudal lords controlling the rest of the world's population.
So true. Let's go to the phones. Peter in Queens, New York, east of the Rockies. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you. There's a couple of questions I want to ask you. One on Henry Kissinger. Before I ask you that one, don't you think there's a spiritual conflict going on, the way television's turning out? And did you ever hear the group called the TFP in Brazil, originated in Brazil? They're sort of a counter-revolutionary group. And
I have heard of them. Unfortunately, you know, what you have to do, and I know actually a lot about them. You know, if you want to understand how certain things work, you have to understand how money works. It's an old adage, especially in the world of banking. You know, if you want to understand who controls what, you have to see who pulls the money strings. And I can tell you that these people in Brazil, you know, they're financed by Banco Santander, which is, you know, Spain's leading bank. And Banco Santander is actually run, you know, through the Royal Bank of Scotland, which is, Queen of England's bank. And Queen of England, Elizabeth II, as I show, you know, new book, The Shadow Masters. She's actually, you know, 50% German roots and 50% Venetian roots, you know, through the house of Albert Azzol. So the thing that these people can actually do something to help the world and actually working on our behalf is unfortunately not true. Just as, you know, Greenpeace, you know, their main shtick, you know, this whole thing about nuclear energy is actually to destroy progress and development, because the two corporations, you know, who have put more money into the Greenpeace is Royal Dutch Shell and British Petroleum. Both corporations are synarchist run interests, going back way, way, way back again to the Bilderberger inner circle. So no, unfortunately, these people cannot do anything, and they're not really counter-revolutionary in any sense that I understand.
Okay, next up. Thanks. Let's go to Doris in Fontana, California. Hi, Doris. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I am so glad you're doing a show about all this. I have two questions. I was wondering if these people are behind the making of the swine flu virus. And also, there was a journalist in Austria who filed a lawsuit against Austria and the United States claiming that they are planning on adding something to the swine flu vaccine to kill a lot of people. And I was wondering if these people are behind that or if you know anything about it.
No, I don't know enough about it to actually, you know, to make an intelligent comment, but I can tell you that, you know, there's so many different ways of actually killing people. And we're seeing it right now in the world. You know, wars actually don't kill a lot of people in the 20th century. Only, quote unquote, 193 million people died as a result of all these wars. Obviously, you know, their plan is to reduce the world's population from 6.7 billion to 2. But you don't actually need to add anything to, you know, any swine vaccine, because by reducing or destroying progress and growth, you see, we're at this plateau right now, 6.7 billion. Next plateau up is 10 billion people. Next plateau down is 2 billion people. The only way we can actually get to the next plateau of 10 billion people is through the use of nuclear energy, which has a higher, much higher density, you know, flux density than any other source of energy. For example, in India, a country of 1.3 billion people, you know, they've run out of water. They're almost out of water. The water has been deposited there millions of years ago. It has been used up. So if, unless we find the new water reserve, then what's going to happen is that 1.3 billion people are simply going to perish. So you don't actually need to add anything to any vaccines. And the only way they can actually get to this water plateau, which is even further down in the earth, is by using nuclear energy, which has a much, much higher yield than any other energy in the world. So in this sense, again, what they're doing right now by destroying the world economy, by destroying progress, by destroying development, is they're actually, you know, working towards, you know, wiping out 4 billion people of the world's population.
Daniel's work is called The Shadow Masters. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. If you're interested in just the toll-free number, that's 800-556-2012. 800-556-2012. Next week, he will be addressing the European Parliament in Brussels on the Bilderberg Group, which is an incredible story all by itself. When we come back, we'll take final phone calls with Daniel Estulin right here on Coast to Coast AM. And again, if you need to email me, that's George at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back. We'll be back in just a moment with our guest Daniel Estulin on our next Coast to Coast program. Paul Smith joins us as we talk about ESP and remote viewing and, well, some of the things that you can do in these tough natural times. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Daniel, this international drug trade, for example, is it true that the poppy production in Afghanistan now is more than when the Taliban was in control?
It's more than ever. It's the greatest in history. That's one of the key issues also in the Shadow Masters investigation. Now, what do international terrorism, the world's financial markets, empire building, and capitalism have in common, George? They're utter dependent on drug profits for their very existence. Now, there's $1 trillion in a year in organized drug trade. That's $1 trillion a year is liquid. And if you think of money, criminal money, drug money as water, which is thin, it can flow very quickly from point A to point B. And in the world markets, where you apply money is where you control business, where you control the markets, you control the banks, you control interest rates. Now, drug money flows fastest. Money that is not criminal money has to go through regulations and banking systems. It has to go through taxations. It is tracked. The lawyers follow it. IRS follows it. The government follows it. That money moves like molasses. So the idea, again, if you can make money go faster, you can actually make a lot of money. Now, if you talk about $1 trillion a year, that's a lot of money to hide in a sock. You need a lot of experience and expertise to move such funds stealthily. Ignorance, therefore, especially when laundering transactions such as these ones, is simply not a tenable option. So what you're seeing right now in Afghanistan, you know, is very much the biggest drug trade supported by the United States government in the world. That's not a surprise that when the Taliban came into Afghanistan and came into power back in 1996, the very first thing they did was they eliminated the entire, you know, poppy crop. And almost immediately, if you remember in 1997, the Asian tiger, the Asian economies collapsed, and Wall Street was left dry without any cash. Now, today, NATO alliance control about 97% of the country. We have the biggest crop ever. There's a correlation between these two things, and people who don't understand it simply don't understand how the world works. Now, if you allow me, I'll explain it very, very quickly, mm-hmm. one of the key areas of investigation in my new book, The Shadow Masters.
Okay, very good.
The corporations trading on Wall Street all have stock values that are based upon annual net profits. Now, the shares of stock are fractions of ownership in companies, and they represent equity. And they're also known as price to earnings, which is the multiplier effect in stock value. It can be sometimes, 15 or even 30 to 1. So if you take it as a strictly mathematical relationship, by adding just $1 to the company's year-end results, it would create $30 in stock value. So if you're talking about 30 to 1, it's like 60 to 2, 90 to 3, and 120 to 4. So what does this mean in the real world? You know, for companies or governments, you know, if they're able to add $10 million in net profits based upon the drug trade, the net increase in their company's stock value could be as much as $300 million. Again, if you're talking about the 30 to 1 ratio, if you're talking about $20 million, then you have $600 million. So which is one of the reasons you could never, ever eradicate drug trade, because, again, drug trade actually washes itself through Wall Street. It supports the entire American economy. And needless to say, one of the reasons the American troops are in Afghanistan, and that's unfortunately something that you will never see in mainstream publications, is that they're, you know, American soldiers are being sent to Afghanistan to be shot by an enemy that the United States president is defending, such as the Taliban, because they refuse to go after the opium trade, which is the logistical and financial backbone of the Taliban insurgency. And again, the Obama policy is giving those narco insurgents a free hand to kill American soldiers. Jeez. And let's think about that exactly. What is going on with the president of the United States?
We could napalm those areas, couldn't we?
Well, you know, you actually don't even need to do that. If you really wanted to cut out the drug trade, all you need to do is surround Afghanistan and not let the drugs actually come out. But if you did that, you know, if you're talking about $700 billion a year, that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of money. If you're talking about the multiplier effect of, you know, fractional reserve, that's $4.2 trillion. If you're talking about $1 trillion, that's, you know, $6 trillion in cash actually being laundered through Wall Street. If you legalize drugs or try to eliminate them, it would destroy the entire world economy, especially right now when there's a financial crisis on the global scale. We're witnessing, you know, the global financial meltdown. There's no cash in the system, which is one of the reasons you have more drugs than ever being laundered through, you know, major financial markets, because, again, these markets actually prop up the entire financial system. Amazing. American soldiers are dying in Afghanistan because somebody needs that money, you know, prop up the American economy.
Juanita in Galveston, Texas, on the wildcard line. Go ahead, Juanita. Welcome to the show.
Wow, this is really mind-blowing.
Yes.
You know, it's so ironic, isn't it? You played the Dock of the Bay, and we've got that big oil spill. And then you mentioned the correlation between BP and Bilderberg. I'm just wondering if there wouldn't be a possibility that this wasn't done on purpose. Some people believe
Some people think
also, I wanted to ask, Have you researched people like Kissinger and the people that are actually active in Bilderberg? Apparently, he was originally one of Mengele's right-hand men. I'll hang up and listen, and I'm very interested in what you have to say. Thank you very much.
All right. What do we know about Kissinger, Daniel?
Well, you know, the Kissinger story actually goes back to the to his days in the in Stanford and in the 1950s, and he was brought on board in the 1950s by Tavistock Institute, which is the intellectual arm of Bilderberg, where they actually control the mind control all the experiments. And Kissinger has done exactly what he was supposed to do. He has risen through the ranks. But he's not an important operator, just like David Rockefeller is not an important operator. I think it's very, very important to understand that anybody who appears in the mainstream press, as often as these individuals do, cannot be important because everyone knows who they are. The real power, the sharers, the real people, the men behind the curtain, never appear in the mainstream publications. And what I've discovered, for example, going back again to my years investigating in Florence, is that one of the most powerful families in the world are the Frescobaldis, whose wealth isn't measured in millions, billions, or even trillions, but rather in quadrillions dollars. And I was able to piece it together by going over the old notary statements, the leases on land. When you actually put it together, their wealth is measured as quadrillions of dollars. So people like Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, they're simply not important enough. And as far as the spill is concerned, I'm an investigator. So unless I see hard proof and evidence of BP actually doing this, sabotaging their own operations, I have a very, very hard time believing it, especially, you have the entire world, even the Bilderbergers themselves, needless to say, I turn against them because it just, doesn't make them look good. Needless to say, aside from this, destroying the American coastline and the American, biodiversity.
Kissinger, by the way, was born in Bavaria, but he fled that area in 1938 because of Nazi persecution, and he was Jewish. So I don't think he worked with Mengele.
No, exactly.
Let's go to Jim, truck driving in Massachusetts. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, George and Dan. How you doing, gentlemen?
Good, sir.
Yes, I wanted to mention, Daniel had a vision of a head of gold, which was Nebuchadnezzar. He said, thou art the king, Nebuchadnezzar, head of gold. And then he had the chest of silver, which was the Medo-Persian Empire. Then the legs of the thighs of bronze, which was the Grecian Empire. Then he had the legs of iron, and then that was the Roman Empire, and the feet of iron mingled with clay. I believe that's the European Union. It's when Charlemagne, I believe it was 800 AD, became the first emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. I wanted to mention also, on the back of your dollar bill, and George, you've talked with me about this before, it says, Novus Ordo Seclorum underneath the great eye on top of the pyramid, mm-hmm. which is raised above the regular bricks. Those are the elitists, the Bilderbergers, and they're out to control us and take away our freedoms. What do you think about that, Dan?
Well, you actually brought up a very, very interesting point. You talked about Charlemagne. Bilderberg isn't new. Now, their ideals are old. They're actually about 2,500 years old. Charlemagne developed the civilization of the Augustinian tradition with the Islamic culture of Harun al-Rashid of the Arab Baghdad Caliphate. Now, the same forces working today to destroy us. They tried to destroy what was built by Charlemagne back then. So they took these gangsters who were called the Norman chivalry, working for the Venetian usurers, and they set up a system called the Crusades, and they killed everyone. They killed the Jews, they killed the Arabs, they killed the Christians, they destroyed society, they destroyed civilization. So, the whole idea of European Union or the whole idea of the world control, again, is very, very old, and I'm very, very glad that you brought up Charlemagne. I wonder how many people know about his role in the creation of nation-state republics.
Okay, next up we'll go to Chad in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, east of the Rockies. Chad, go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Okay, thanks.
All right, Dan. This heavy stuff you guys are talking about here, I find myself trying to muster up the right question or you find out what I exactly want to touch on. I'm a Christian. I believe in the end times, how the Bible states in Revelations about This leader rising from another nation, and George, you're well aware of Revelations, is the mark of the beast,
sure.
Babylon, United States, and how does this all link in with this NATO? And you know, UN has been mentioned in Revelations as far as this leader is supposed to rise out of the United Nations. He's supposed to be this, and the money, the monetary thing, how it's all going to become one monetary unit. Dan, George, is there any way you can comment on who's piecing these puzzles together, and is it right in front of us? You know, the answers to these revelations.
Well, in terms of piecing it together, reporters like Daniel,
right,
who are few and far between.
Right. Well, what is it that he's concluded? Is there any conclusions to all of this journalism? I'm basically asking Daniel, what is it that you truly believe is happening to us?
Well, you know, the scheme that we're seeing right now, again, you know, what are these people after, I guess, is the question. You know, what do they want? Do they want money? No, they don't want money. You know, because as I said, you know, some of the wealthiest families in the world, they control the world financially in terms of quadrillions of dollars. I think they have enough money to certainly, you know, eat bad, you know, buy a car and have a comfortable life, you know, for the rest of, you know, for as long as planet Earth is around. It's about bloodline. Okay, it's about controlling, you know, the destiny of mankind, which is why, again, this is a very old fight, going back about 2,500 years. You know, it started with Socrates and Plato on our side, and it goes way, you know, through the Middle Ages, the Renaissance. You know, the scheme for a single world state, a European super state under private oligarchical rule, you know, it was a cornerstone of through centuries of every secret organization of private society. And if you're talking about, you know, Europe, it's been a cornerstone of every 20th century European fascist movement, from the original Sinarchist movement to Hitler, Mussolini, Pan-European Union, you know, to people like Sir Oswald Mosley's Europe a Nation. Now, in each instance, the plan involved top-down imperial dictatorship over all of Europe or over all of the world, administered through a decentralized power structures, crushing the sovereign nation states out of existence. That's what it's about. It's about destroying the sovereign nation states. In Europe, as I said before, we had independent countries, our currencies, our constitutions, our flags. Now, just look at Greece. It has been turned into a protectorate. Not only do people don't have the right to eat because these decisions are made in Brussels, not in Greece, and aside from the fact that the president of Greece is a member of the Bilderberg Club, you know, with the new draconian regulations in Greece, people have lost 30% of their livelihood. Whatever little industry was left has been destroyed. And, you know, the latest, you know, thing which just came out through Reuters, if you're actually buying anything over 1,500 euros, which is about $2,000 or about $1,500 in worth, you have to use credit cards or debit cards. Again, we're talking about cashless society. You're talking about destroying wealth. You're talking about control. But it's, again, the control for the purposes of destroying nation states. They've been after this for a very, very long time. And needless to say, these people don't believe in God, although a lot of them, especially the European royals, profess to be Catholics or Christians. They're none of those things at all. I don't think that they believe in anything other than their own bloodlines, which they've been pursuing for a very, very long time.
All right, very good. Let's take a couple more calls. We're out of time here, Daniel. Toronto, Canada, we go. First-time caller. Steve, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Great show, gentlemen.
Yes.
Many years ago here in Canada, they had the Bilderberger meeting here in King City, Ontario. And I just had
1996, that's right.
Have a friend that attended that, and this person was a high up in the Canadian banking system, and they were totally disgusted when they came back after the meeting. Basically, he told me how they're planning on controlling people is to swamp the average person in debt. Now, wasn't shortly after that, so you had the no nothing down events for all these buying stuff, and then all these credit card campaigns started coming on, and it was just massive debt swamping, and they actually talked about people coming to work while they're sick by just swamping you with debt, and so far it seems like they've been able to do that. I'll listen to your...
Well, they have been able to do that, you know, and one of the things, again, you know, you're talking about these, you know, this man coming out totally disgusted. That's one of the reasons we've been able to infiltrate Bilderbergers for so many years, because people actually attend these conferences, you know, the security people, the intelligence agencies, or the actual attendees who actually don't believe in this one world company control, who are disgusted. They actually search people such as myself out because they know I'm credible, and they actually give us information. And over the years, we've had remarkable success rate. My success rate is over 90%, which, you know, in baseball terms, George, would make me pretty much, you know, the greatest hitter in history.
Absolutely. Daniel, we're out of time. I want to thank you for the program. I wonder if there's any way during any of these meetings you can check in with us. Is that possible?
You know, I would absolutely love to, because, again, we've infiltrated these people to such a point where it's actually, you know, I'm a bit disappointed how easy they've made it for us. You know, absolutely, I would love to check in on a daily basis if you want to, and I'll give you an exclusive daily update of everything that is going on there. You know, we've infiltrated the G20 meeting back in November in St. Andrews. Not only that, but we actually penetrated, you know, the impenetrable security of 500 people and have stolen all the documents, and we've published them on our website. I don't need to do that with Bilderberg. We have people inside, but you certainly will be getting exclusive, world-exclusive rights to get all the information on the comings and goings of all the entities, who said what to whom.
Anyway, can I just
give the number one more time?
Go ahead.
You know, to my publisher, 1-800-556-2012. It's trineday.com, 1-800-556-2012, trineday.com. His name is Chris Milligan, and if anyone deserves a Congressional Medal of Honor, that's this man for being a very brave man and putting up a great fight.
All right, Daniel, we're going to check in with you while you're out there. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.